Okay, excellent. Glad everyone is here on board. So we're looking at this study as it relates to the bringing forth of the light, the Messiah, out of darkness. So we're going to look at the abstract first and try to see if we are making things clear of what I'm trying to communicate. The scriptures refer to the Messiah as being the light of the world. According to John chapter 8, verse 12, then said Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. His birth and life are an example of how we should live so that we can be worthy to be called the children of light and not the children of darkness or the children of disobedience. According to, this is in reference to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience or the children of darkness. Be not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in Yahweh. Walk as children of light. Many of us walk in darkness, in the darkness that covers this world's system, and are not walking in the light as the Messiah did. This ebook is written to help us understand and lead us back on the path so we can walk in the light even as he is in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that Elohim is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Yeshua the Messiah, his son, cleanses us from all sin. As we can see, in the Creator is light and no darkness at all. Then what is the light according to the scriptures, and how many will find it? Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. As we can see, the scripture makes it very clear that the majority of the world is on the broad way that leads to destruction. And this destruction is, you know, right now we have in this storm. The storms usually form in the cold weather up in the Arctic, come down through Canada into North America, into the United States, and cuts across the country, and we get all the snow. But now we have turned the world upside down with this greenhouse effect stuff and about polluting the planet and killing it. So now the planet has decided to revolt, and so now we have the snowstorms. Instead of creating in the north, they're starting in the south. They have come and swept through Texas, dropped 6 to 8, 12 inches down there. It's gone through Atlanta, gone through Mississippi, they never get snow. Mississippi, Alabama, I mean, you know, it came through there. Texas, it hits a little bit of Florida, and it's just ripping through the country, dropping 12, 6, 8 inches of snow. These people don't even know what snow is. We up in the north, we were supposed to be getting snow up here, starting at like 5 something. I've been up, and if we didn't have any snow, Now we're starting to get a little drizzle, and it's only going to last for maybe 2 or 3 hours. So we'll get dusting. We're going to get the snow that the South gets, and the snow that we get, the South is getting.
Wow,
so, yes, it's broad path. That's where it leads us. Yes, you were going to say something? Mm-hmm.
No, I said, yeah, that's crazy. That's the opposite of where it usually goes.
Yeah, but when you destroy something, it goes haywire. And the planet is not to be messed with. And we have a president who says he don't care about it, so we are going to suffer. The planet hurt. The planet says, okay, let me help you understand what you're doing since you are in denial. So then it says, then it tells us that few find the narrow way that leads to life and light. This e-book is written so we can find the narrow way and walk in the light. And if we don't, we're going to be in big trouble, man. We're going to kill everybody. Everybody's killing off each other by violating the laws of nature. When we decide to do whatever we want and it doesn't matter who we kill, what we kill, the planet, I remember there's a scripture that mentions that that when the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, Yahweh said that Abraham was supposed to go in. And so he said, no, Abraham, they have their cup is not full. Their cup is not full. And he has to wait for their cup to be full of iniquity. Then y'all can go in and take over the land. And so it will be many generations after that. So, and he promised them when he took them into the land of Canaan, he told them, listen, guys, if you guys don't follow the rules and regulations that I have given you as it relates to the land, as it relates to nature, as it relates to people, if you violate the laws of nature, if you violate my laws, that's what he said, then the land will spew you out. The land will kick you out. And that's what it's doing to us. Literally. It's going to wipe us off this planet. And especially here in America, we have got so many crimes, so many things that we have done, so much blood we have spilled. How many people we have massacred, how many people we have drowned, so many nations we have gone around the world, all the corruption, Babylon, all the stuff that we do, as they call it, undercover, whatever they want to call it, setting people up. Nicaragua, I don't know if you saw that movie, American Made by Tim, what's that guy's name? Tom Cruise.
Mm-mm.
Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
Okay, it nope. Shows you how America was creating wars and creating things so they can steal people's land and steal people's stuff. And how they feed both sides of the thing. I mean, it's insanity. But it showed us their dirty wars. And so we... as a people, I have to, it's still the blood is on our hand. Because we're under this nation and we claim we follow it. And even if we don't claim we follow, we're still in this plant. We're still on this surface of this thing. And it's, you know, massacring the planet. So I just thought about that. And that's the Broadway. Everybody's following America. At McDonald's and everything around the world, everybody's just following us like we're God. We're superpowers, but they think that we have all the answers, and everybody comes here and thinks they're going to escape. They're just coming to Sodom and Gomorrah now. It's only a matter of time before we can figure out our way out of here. Any comments on the abstract so far?
That's interesting.
Okay. Then we'll get into the first section or the first chapter where we will call this part. In the beginning, let us go to the beginning so we can get an understanding of this term light. All right, Genesis 1:1. That's as far as we can go back, at least according to scriptures that we know of. Now, that's one part that we can go back. John 1 also takes us back to the beginning. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. According to this verse, the Almighty created the heavens and the earth. What is in the heavens? According to science and NASA, there are endless universes in the heavens, just as there are trillions of cells in the body, which make up organisms. As one looks at an atom, they see a nucleus with protons and neutrons, surrounded by orbiting electrons. This is similar to planets orbiting the sun in our solar system. So that's what I wanted to be able to compare the solar system and the atom. And so basically, what's above, as above, so below, as the term goes from the ancient texts. So we are, and since we were made in the image of the Creator, in the image of Elohim, it says, that every cell is like a universe inside of us. And so that's the way it is with the Creator. Everything that exists and have its being exists inside of the Creator, just like every cell and organ that lives in us lives inside of us. And so we're just one little universe, one little cell in the Creator. That is interesting. Do you follow that?
Yeah.
I mean, that is amazing. That is amazing. And then to find out that NASA and them can verify that there's trillions of universes that go around with atoms all throughout. That's amazing. Now, according to Paul, we are only told about three heavens, which he was taken to. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 4. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations in Yahweh. I knew a man in the Messiah above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. Elohim, no. So this guy is talking about he's either in a dream or a vision. He don't know what he's in. He's talking about himself. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Elohim knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Wow. So when we think of the three heavens, as they look at it, as church looks at it, they look at the heavens down here and the earth surrounding us, then the heavens of the universe, Milky Way and all that, then the third heaven is where the other part of another existence exists. So now, is that the fourth dimension? Is there another dimension? Is all of these things together happening in the same space, but at different times? Or are they at the same time in different space? I mean, what are we talking about here? Is he seeing it in the physical, or is he went into another dimension and he's seeing it in another existence? And he can't even tell if he's in the body or out of the body. So the Bible does talk about different things. I was reading through Job, and it clearly defines the what do we call those things? The signs that we talk about, or these that we go through all of these different signs in the heavens. I forget how can't come that the words isn't coming to my senses right at the moment. But they're all the zodiacs and so forth. All these things that in the universe exist. And when Yahweh in Job, it says that the sons of God came to meet with Yahweh and Satan came with them. The question was, who are the sons of God? Where are they coming from? Are they coming from these different planets or universes or heavens that we're talking about here? And they're the representative of these planets or universes. Just as Satan is the representative of the planet Earth, he's called the, what is he called? He's called the God of this world. He's called the Prince of the Power of the Air. And the works in the children of disobedience. Yes, so these other dimensions or worlds and these angelic hosts and these spirit beings, Paul is talking about. And the Bible talks about these things also. It even calls it Orion. It even calls it the bear and Pleiades. The Bible actually used these terms. So these things are real, even though church wants to deny them, but the Bible talks about them in a positive light. So that's very interesting. As we can see, science and NASA are right and do not conflict with the scriptures. So did you know that there's music that each planet, Job talks about the morning star singing for joy, and that's what the Creator talk about, the Son of God, the sons of light. That's what we're talking about, that they're out here singing, and each planet sings. There's music that comes out of every planet, even the Earth gives all the planets. This is, you know, like unheard of. Any comments you have before we move to the next section of In the Beginning, We Find Darkness and Water?
No, I don't think I have any comments.
Okay. We find that in the beginning, the earth was without shape or form and empty or void like water. Water is shapeless. It takes on the shape of the vessel it is put in. Darkness covered the face of the deep, and the spirit of Elohim, of the Creator, moved on the face of the waters. So when we talk about this water, the Bible talks about in the beginning that there was just, that basically the earth was just water. Now, how does water just exist in nothing? So for water to exist in something, it has to have a shape. So that means it has to be in a jar, it has to be in something. And so it was put in some type of a jar, or not a jar, I don't even know if we can, a cylinder or a sphere. That's basically what it is, like a globe. So it was put in this shape. And what surrounded, what was holding it together? The Bible tells us that You put a firmament between the waters, and that's air and all the rest of that, between the waters above and the waters below. So there's this air gap in between, and that's where we live and breathe. So below us is water. Above us, what we call the sky now, was water. And so that's what was holding this into being. So is it the biosphere? And all of these other things is what holding this. At that time, the water was actually literally shaped in that form. And so I think about for us, for the Creator to start creating things, He has a purpose. He has a plan. And I think in this beginning, He is giving us a plan of the plan of what's going on and what will be going on in the future and how He's going to do certain things. So it's like a prophetic prophecy. And so he tells us the water, the Bible says the water represents people, nations. So we got all these people and nations that are void, that are in darkness. Just as today, we're in total darkness. We are destroying the planet, acting like nothing's happening. We are doing so many different things. So we are totally in darkness. And so that's what the Bible is talking about, that if the planet was without form, we have no direction. You know, we just go into the pits. Our minds are empty. How many people have a plan, a real plan? Not a plan of materialism, not a plan how to survive, not a plan how to make money. No, a real plan. We are just void, empty of direction. Yeah, you were going to say something?
No, I'm saying, what do you consider a real plan?
Hey, your purpose here on planet Earth, and it isn't to make money. It isn't to buy and sell. It isn't so you can have a job. It isn't none of the above of what we've been told in this capitalist and this your Western world civilization. The ancient people lived on a spiritual basis. The Egyptians, the ancient Egyptians, the Bible says in Isaiah that Egypt is my people. Assyrian is the work of my hand and Israel is my inheritance. Now, most people who want to be Gentiles say that, you know, Egypt ain't got nothing to do with anything. But the Bible says right there, he's my people. So when we think about the ancient world and the Kemetic teachings of the ancient world, and just any Aborigine group on the planet, Native Americans, no matter where on the planet, India, China, all these different places have that everybody lived in harmony with nature. That's what they live in. Because they knew what happened above and what happened below. If they destroy the planet, they're destroying everything. So they knew that. But today we have no direction whatsoever in that. People wasn't buying and selling. They went out and picked their food out the garden. In certain places in the world, I heard, I haven't been there, but I heard that you can go out and live in Jamaica and places, and you can just pick the food off the land. You can live off the land. You do not have to have money. Your parents already paid for the land, paid for the house. You already own it. You own it. There's no tax paying. There's none of this. I'm like, wow.
That's true.
This is deep. Yeah, why don't you mute your phone because I'm hearing all the stuff that's getting in the recording. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about this darkness and having no direction, no spiritual direction, no purpose in life, not besides materialism and buying and selling and making, no. And so what shape are we taking? We're taking on the shape of Babylon. That's what waters is shapeless. And so we're just taking on the shape of Babylon, and that's why he calls us out of Babylon. So this vessel that we're indoctrinated in is full of wine. It says that it intoxicates the people, that all the world wanders after the beast. And so is this a prophecy telling us that this condition of the masses would be like this, full of darkness, and it covered the face of the deep, such that the time had to come where the spirit of Elohim had to come to the planet, change it, so that it can move on the people and change them. And according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the spirit of Elohim moved on the face of the waters. In the beginning, the earth was full of water, or full of, as it would say, full of the people. Like today we have 7 billion, and they say it could be moving up to 10 billion people on the planet. So we are literally covering the waters. The waters covering the earth. Now, what has light got to do with all this? So when we look at light, it says that Genesis 1, verses 3 through 5, and Elohim said, let there be light. And there was light. And Elohim saw the light that it was good. And Elohim divided the light from the darkness. And Elohim called the light day, capital D, an entity, and the darkness he called night, another entity, capital N. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So what is he saying here in a prophetic prophecy? Well, he would have to bring forth the light out of darkness. We're in so much darkness, that's what happened. Did this happen before? Yes, this happened at the time of the Messiah. This happened at the time of the Messiah when he came. He came at the right time to disperse the darkness that was roaming the world under the Roman Empire, under this Gentile rulership that had ruled the world, or was ruling the world at that time. And so this light needed to come. So as we go through, we can look at lots of different things that it talks about. When the Messiah came, it says that there was great light has come. And we already read earlier that it says that he is the light of the world. We read that in the abstract. And whosoever follows him shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What is the light of life? What are we talking about here? Well, if we look in the book of John, chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. The same was in the beginning with Elohim. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was, guess what, life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So we're talking here about the darkness that covered the earth, the spirit that moves on it. And then he said, let there be light. And so he's bringing forth the word. And we already read also that the creator is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And so if he is the light and there's no darkness at all in him, then how can light be revealed to water or to us? How could we know what we're supposed to be doing? How could we have form? How could we have direction? How can we have purpose? Well, all of those different things are where he is leading us. And that's what light is. Light is that one thing. So now how can he communicate to an infinite being, communicate light to darkness, to a material, to that? And my understanding is he would have to, in the book of Hebrews, it says that Yeshua is the realization of the infinite creator reality. And I said, wait, the realization? Yeah. The only thing that we can understand is that, yes, we see the light, but what does that light mean in a spiritual sense? And so the only way we can figure that out is one way. If the Creator can actually come and dwell with us and live amongst us and show us the way, show us the life that he's talking about, the light of life, which lighteth every person that's in us, but can we bring it forth? Or is darkness filling us so much and indoctrinating us and has us so intoxicated that we cannot even tell the difference between walking in the light and walking in the darkness? Because we have all these churches saying that they're walking in the light and they're walking in darkness. They're on the broad way thinking they're on the narrow way. When they have the narrow way, the book says already, few there be that find it. We need to even say how many people walk in it. So he had to become flesh. So how do I communicate to you? How do you communicate to me? How do my thoughts get to you of what I am, who I am, what I'm thinking? How? He said, how do I reveal this to this group of beings on this planet? So one way was through the word. We communicate. You know my thoughts, and I know your thoughts by what? The words. When you speak to me or you write to me, I can hear you. I can think, I can perceive what your thoughts are. And then when you act out certain things, that's another way. And so we were created just like that, that we would have words to communicate. And that's how we would do it. Yes, Jabari, we're on the line. You can get on. Ayanfe's on with us. Okay? All right. So there we go. We have it that this darkness that is surrounding the world, he had to penetrate through the darkness into our, permeate through our lives and change us and say, hey, you need to wake up. Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Y'all are destroying the planet. Hey, hey, I got to wake you guys up. So he created a word, and that's what he said. His, the only way that we can understand him is through his word. Now, we could say it could be the written word, or it could be the word that is spoken. And the way we understand things is that's where we find ourselves. So he had to become flesh. The light that he created, that's why he says, let there be light. So then he spoke himself into existence in this darkness to permeate the darkness. So now at the time of the Roman Empire, he's going to permeate through all of this. Now, how is he going to do that? Well, when we read in the book of Luke and Matthew, they give us all of those information. They tell us all of these different things. We hear about the wise men that came. So that means there was three different places on the planet that understood outside of Europe, outside of the Western Roman Empire, that knew that there was a star in heaven, a light that was shining. And this light shined upon the earth. And they knew that, hey, there's something that's about to come. And so we have these wise men. We could be from China, from India, and from Africa. Who knows? But these are the ones who was in tune with the universe and the Creator and came to say, hey, there's this great light that is coming that is about to illuminate the earth. And so that's the light. And so when we go through that story in the book of Matthew, we read about it. Is telling us a deeper meaning of the light that is shining in darkness, in this dark world, to help us understand what's going on. Then it just didn't stop with that light. Then he says that the shepherds were out there, and they said that they thought they saw a star, and there's nothing but angels telling them, hey, Hosanna, to the Messiah is here. Who's the Messiah? Okay, that's the one who's supposed to bring us back to Adam and Eve, help us understand where we have fallen from and where we need to go back. And not only that, the light of the stars in heaven, the light that the wise men saw, now we have even another one of the John the Baptist being brought on the stage of action, such that Elizabeth, who's bearing John the Baptist, and Mary, who's bearing Yeshua, that the two mothers meet and their babies leap for joy because they know each other. Now, and the Bible does tell us that John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. There's nobody that we know on the planet that has been filled from his mother's womb. So we see all of these things happening at this time, trying to wake us up into a realization of a prophecy of what was happening at the beginning and when it would come in time again. And so he became flesh and dwelt among us so that we can see what the Creator is requiring of us, nothing more. Showing us how to live, where to live, and what we can do. And so that's why he keeps saying that he that walk in the light, even as he is in the light. That we're children of the light. Let your light so shine that it might be put on a hill, not under a bushel. It talks about us being instruments to his glory. As an example, the Aborigines and the ancient people live that way. they lived in harmony with nature. They lived in harmony. They did not violate nature such that nature is coming up to destroy us, such that the world is turned upside down. The snowstorms from the north are now coming from the south. The 12 inches that we get up in the north are now being dumped in Mississippi, Alabama, Atlanta, Georgia. And so this was a promise to us that if we continue down this pathway, that it is total destruction, because this is the broad way, the way that leads to destruction. And many there be in that go there. Basically, the whole world is going down there. And few there be that find the narrow and straight way that is going to take us in another dimension. So we have to think about that. We have to realize that. We have to learn all of these different things. And that's what this a coming forth to the light out of darkness is all about. Are we going to be able to come out of the darkness of this world? Are we going to be able to see the light? Are we going to be able to perceive what is truth? So we have this season that people claim that they call Christmas. There is a huge debate if the Messiah was born around this time. And there's a debate, was there a Messiah? Was it figurative and all that? That's fine. But what we're interested in is, what can we learn from this time? In the Jews, the European Jews have something that's called the Feast of Lights at this time. So we have all of this stuff that deals with the lights, and many people have no clue what any of that means. And so that's what this ebook is all about, helping us trying to understand how the light is supposed to be the light of our lives and how he can change our lives and waken us up out of this darkness so that we might be able to see what is all around us. Now, the question is, will we awaken? Will we follow this narrow path? Will we come off the road that everyone is on, or will we continue down the path? It's up to every individual to determine that. It's not a group. It's not a nation. It's not a church. It's not an organization. It's not a family. It isn't any of the above. It's an individual quest. Do I really want to know what's really going on? Do I really want to be free from this darkness? Do I really see that I need to be free from this? Am I walking in the light, or do I even see the light? I remember Pilgrim Progress, the evangelist said, hey, do you see that light? Let's see a little glimpse. That's it. Just follow that light. Just follow that. And that's where we are today. Is evangelist telling us this, can we see the light? If you can't see the light, then you can't follow. If you can see it, then you can follow it. And just follow it. It'll take you to where you need to be. And so that's where we find ourselves today. All right. Any comments or thoughts on what we've covered? Because that's basically it.
No comments.
Yeah, we were reading the book. We had started with the book. I got 3 or 4 pages I sent you. The bringing forth of the light, the Messiah, out of darkness. That's the title. So he read through the abstract and read through the beginning of it. So as we talked and recording it, and that helped me later on to pull it together and write this up. So any comments from you guys in reference to the title and what we were looking at as it relates to the prophecy of the future in the beginning when he created the heavens and the earth and said, let there be light?
Well, no, not necessarily. No comments. I did find it interesting, though, when you were talking about, you know, how the weather changed and how everything affects one another thing, and just doing a lot of stuff. So,
yep, everything is connected.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's connected. Because remember, we're like in this vessel. We're in this vessel like an atom. All we are is one little atom in the Creator. That's all we are, just one little drop.
Yeah.
Yep. That is correct.
I wonder if there are other universes that haven't done as bad as we have.
What's that?
But I wonder if there are other universes who haven't done the same thing that we have. And it's kind of at the beginning of the world, everything was created like that too.
Yeah, I'm sure they're just looking at us and looking at us and acting like, you guys are a bunch of idiots. And we don't want to go down that path. So we're an example to the whole universe of what not to do. And if you do, this is your results. So we do have a purpose for living. But it's not a good one. But it is a good one to warn the rest of the universes about what's going on. That's heavy. So did somebody drop off and come back, or did Mopay get on also?
No, I dropped off for a minute, but I came back on.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Any comments from you, Jabari?
No, okay.
Okay, cool. All right, I'm going to stop it.